For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to this episode of Hustle and Pro. I'm your host, Kelly Walker. And you might not know, but Frisco is a big gymnastics city. We actually have a lot of really good gymnastics here. And so today, our guest, Becky Thomas, is leader of one of the powerhouse gyms that we have here in Frisco, which is Kurt Thomas Gymnastics. So welcome to Hustle and Pro, Becky.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you because you don't know me yet, but gymnastics is near and dear to my heart, like very. When I was three, I started gymnastics because my parents owned a gym. So like when I think about you and your story, I think, okay, now we were very light into gymnastics. It was just a little like community thing. But we did have some competitive gymnasts that went on to do big things, but that was a big part of my life growing up, being a gymnast. And my two sisters, we were competitive gymnasts. And so, you know, we were that family for a long time. And so I love gymnastics still. I can't do it still, but I love it so much. And I have a lot of respect for you and what you're doing over there. So I'm excited to talk to you for those reasons. I definitely want to talk about Kurt and the gym and a couple of things you have going on, but I want to talk about you also. On Hustle and Pro, we like to talk about journeys of athletes and different things. And I don't know if our audience knows some of the things about you. Probably not, because I didn't myself, and I lived here in Frisco like 11 years.
I try to keep my past under wraps a little bit so that I can be more in the gymnastics world instead of in the dance world. But the dance world is definitely my world.
Your world. Well, then, okay, we can touch on it lightly, but I read that you were a Dallas Mavs dancer.
I was. Yeah. I was the only one on Mavs at the time that was married, and I was the only one with two kids, which was interesting with 52 home games and everything, but it was fun. I kind of did it after my dance career because I was in Dallas, and it was one of the things that, you could do here that was still dancing and a lot of dancing. I loved it. So, yeah.
You're kind of where you came, where gymnastics came in. So you were a dance director for like women, USA Gymnastics for the women's team. Is that right?
No, I helped with the women's team at Bella's back in the day when I was in high school.
Oh,
and
okay.
I really thought, you know what, this is great and all, but I'm a dancer, and the gymnastics world was so foreign to me. And I thought, this is tough. Like the stuff that these kids are doing, it's one thing for us to do a leap in a dance room, but on a 4-inch wide beam, I was blown away by how hard the sport was.
Yeah.
So then I went on to dance professionally, and I ended up being, meeting Kurt actually on a cruise ship. I danced for a cruise line for about 3 years, and Kurt was on a ship for about a year and a half. And our last contract, we crossed over. So we ended up getting off together, and I ended up doing beam and floor for a couple of the camps and individuals that he was coaching. And I absolutely fell in love with it. I had no idea though that from high school to, you know, young adult, I would end up being back in gymnastics. But it kind of takes, you mentioned it earlier, it takes a hold of you. Once it's in you, it's like you, that passion, you it's very hard to walk away from it. And if you do, you constantly watch it and think, this is the best sport ever.
Yes, because it is so unique. And yeah, when you watch it, I mean, I watch it now looking at them going, I know that level I stopped at and why and how I was scared of certain elements. And I look at what they're doing now and I just think, I don't even know how they are, well, physically, but also just mentally getting to that point. But one quick thing, you talked about how you got to work with some of the gymnasts that Kurt was coaching at the time. So is that where like Shannon Miller and Kim Zmeskal and Dominique Dawes and Machiano come into play?
Yeah, I ended up, Kurt and I were both hired to produce the 96 Olympic tour for John Hancock. And then we also produced the 2000 tour and the 2004 tour. So I went on as a choreographer for those tours. So in that, I was able to do all the cities with the kids and with Kurt at the time. And we were city to city with the athletes. So I became really close with those athletes. And then I ended up choreographing for them, not just for the tour, but for things like rock and roll gymnastics and the Reese's Cup and things like that. But it was a blast. And then Kurt is just one of these bigger than life people, but he ended up signing a deal with the Detroit Auto Tour. Mm-hmm. So that was after the actual tour had ended, but they decided they were going to take the tour and extend it an additional 23 cities. So Kurt was doing all the emceeing and everything. And they said, well, what are we going to do? You're gone. He said, put Becky in it. She'll be fine. So I ended up staying with that group of kids living on the bus, and I could pick between the guys' bus or the girls' bus. So I took Kurt's spot on the guys' bus only because they had better food, because the girls didn't eat a whole lot and the guys ate a ton. So I lived on the guys' bus with them. So I got to know that group, the 96 team and the two really, really well. So I ended up doing a lot of work with them later on in the future.
That sounds amazing. Sounds so
it
fun.
It was so cool.
Those names so cool. are kind of like the names that I grew up idolizing and watching. Yeah. I mean, many more and a little bit of I guess one older generation than that, but still those names like the Miller and, you know, Shannon Miller was so big in my household and all those other girls, but that had to be amazing.
Yeah. And they were really young kids at the time, which was so cool because they're such good people. So everybody looked at them as these icons, you know. Mochiano was on tour with us, and Shannon Miller and Dominique Dawes, all of them. And they're just really incredible people. And it was fun and interesting to watch that transition from major athlete that is training 10 hours a day to going to a tour where it's all fun and excitement and music, and they're more relaxed, and you can find out their personalities a lot better and kind of watch them come into their own. It was really, really cool. And those relationships, I think, will stay forever.
Okay, let's talk a little about Kurt's background. And I think I'm thinking, what do you think? Is he most known for being the first like men's USA gymnast to win a world championship? Is that right?
Yes, yes. First gold medal, first medal ever for men. And he started a trend for men's gymnastics. You know, back in Kurt's day, it was packed. There were no seats. Everything was about men's gymnastics, and Kurt was the catalyst of that. He's the one that put the US on the map. Didn't help that he was cute, so he had this heartthrob thing behind him, and he was just the whole package for marketing. So it took off, and he was an innovator in our sport, which I think is really cool. So he has four skills named after him. One, the most famous one, is the pommel horse one, which is the Thomas Flair. And still used today, and used in breakdancing, used in gymnastics, and used in the men's compulsories for years where they were required to do it. And it's just neat watching something that he was messing around with in a gym and came up with be a basic skill for everybody for the future for men's gymnastics.
Like a staple in the sport. And it's beautiful. Like, it's one of those things that it's like artistic, right? Just in the nature of how it looks.
Yeah.
And it looks simple and fluid, but it's probably incredibly hard.
Yeah. And I remember him saying he was just in the gym doing circles. They call them circles with their legs are together. And it's just a basic skill. And he just started kind of splitting the circle and trying to split it and came up with the flare. And then the minute he did it in international competition, obviously it was named after him. And yeah, he makes it look really, really easy. And he would be in here a lot trying to teach the girls how to do the flare on the floor, try to teach them how to do it on beam, you know. And here he is in his 60s, and they're looking at him like, I can't do that. But yeah, definitely. And then he had a Thomas on a high bar, and also a Thomas on floor that they banned from women's gymnastics because it was so dangerous. And then he had a Thomas mount on P-bars.
Oh, okay. So, I didn't realize that one. I'd heard of the others, but I didn't realize the fourth one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you mentioned how he was kind of the catalyst and sort of the face for men's gymnastics at the time.
Oh yeah.
He was like the poster child, I think. I mean, he was on Good Morning America, the Today Show, Letterman, and with Johnny Carson five times.
Yeah. And Johnny Carson loved Kurt because Kurt bantered with them all the time. And that was Johnny Carson's personality with the banter. And that's how Kurt, you know, you don't ever ask him, hey, how do I look? If you're not secure enough to ask those questions, because you're going to get the honest answers from Kurt all the time. And Carson loved that banter. And then, you know, he was this heartthrob. You know, Kurt and I are 15 years different. So a lot of this, I come to find out later, you know, I see him on covers of Tiger Beat and all these, you know, magazines and posters and stuff in kids' rooms. And yeah, he became a very important icon for our sport, and not just his gymnastics ability, but in the way he carried himself and the way that he promoted the sport. And that is what carried him and everybody behind him. I found out so much when we were together about how specifically a lot of male gymnasts, that was who they started because they saw Kurt. And I hear that time and time again, but until things changed a couple of years ago, I didn't really understand the impact of that, but it was a major impact in our country. And it was because of him. They would have meetings in Russia before the Olympic Games, before World Championships, and their meetings would be, how are we going to beat Kurt Thomas? That was the meeting. How do we beat this kid? And it was all about him. And that says a lot, that other countries are noticing that if we can just beat him, then maybe we can get back to where we were. That's how it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. And I know that obviously after he was finished being a competitor, he was a coach, and that's where the birth of where you guys are now. You're sitting in Kurt Thomas Gymnastics in Frisco now. When did that open?
We started 25 years ago, and we were in Vegas doing shows. He was doing an auto show. I was a headliner at a show called Splash there. And we decided we got married in Vegas, and we decided we wanted to have children several months later, and my family is in Texas. So we moved here, and our goal in creating a family and having stability was to open a gym. So we opened our first gym in Plano in 1996, and we are now on our fourth move. And we've been in Frisco now for 12 years. And at first it was interesting, is a young married couple, or I was younger, so I have to say that, because I'm 15 years younger, but very young, but he was 40 when we got married. And as a young couple with new kids and a new business, it was not easy. It was incredibly challenging, but coaching for Kurt is something that, you know, most people, if they're a really good gymnast, they're a pretty good coach. And there are some that are okay gymnasts that are amazing coaches. And then we have coaches like Bella that were never a gymnast ever. But Kurt as a coach was just a different level of training. And I don't mean that in a hard way. I mean, these kids adore him. What can I do better? What can I? And he had this banter with them that was just awesome. And he would walk in, and it made everybody in the gym, including the staff, want to be better at what we did. And I can't to this day pinpoint it or explain it. It was just an aura around him that he walked in and you thought, oh God, I got, you know, or he'd say something. I was with another coach on floor, and both of us did choreography a lot. And I remember one day he walked up to both of us and he said, all right, who's the one that did this routine? I hate it. Both of us looked at each other, and we both pointed at each other. And it was her. And I don't even think at the time we even were thinking about who did it. It was just, I can't let him.
That wanted me. Disappoint. Yeah.
It had to be her. And he would laugh, but he had that effect on you where you just wanted to please him. And the kids, from a gymnastics standpoint, were the same way. They wanted, if he said to you, God, that was great, you truly knew it was great. he wouldn't say anything negative, but he held those compliments close. And when he used them, it made you stand up and puff your chest out and feel like if he says it, oh my gosh, it's gold.
Right. But that's what makes coaches great is when people around them, not even just their athletes, but then, you know, colleagues also want to be noticed by you and want to work harder to accomplish their own goals for you, you know?
Yeah.
There is a magic behind that when you can find that formula somehow. And it isn't something you create. I think you have it. It's a natural thing.
I don't think you can learn how to be that way. You can learn how to be kind and you can learn how to be positive when you're coaching and you can adjust things to be better for each individual kid. But this is a whole different level of, and it's not just respect. You just want to show him that you're not just capable, but you're great, and he believes in you, so you believe in him. It's just a whole different thing. And like you said, I don't think it's anything you can really teach. You just have that presence about you. And he was this larger than life presence with the staff, the girls, his colleagues. We would go to meets and people literally would come up and just stand there like they wanted to say something to him, but they were a little afraid to, or, you know, and the kids here really know. I mean, they were younger. So when people were asking for his autograph and taking pictures with him, they're like, that's just Kurt. What
are you doing? Just our coach.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's part of why it was so hard. You know, this hard topic of him passing, and it hasn't been that long. I feel like it's still fresh. But that is probably why it was such a hard hit to the community and probably to your gym. And I'm guessing very unexpected thing. To lose someone like that, you know, a larger than life personality.
Yeah. It's been 14 months and 10 days since Kurt passed away. And I think that, and it was very sudden, and he is probably healthier than anybody I know. And that morning we were hanging out and going to brunch and we walked 4.5 miles and with dogs and having a blast. And I think for me, especially, I just assumed Kurt would outlive all of us. He just, like I said, larger than life and incredibly healthy. But the girls, that, that's one of the hardest parts, because Kurt and I coached a specific group on our own. And you know, I felt the need to make sure I was here for the kids. So 10 days after mm-hmm. he passed away, I was back in the gym, making sure the girls were okay. But what I realized that does too is I'm trying to hold them up, but I'm not in a position to do that. So it was really difficult, and they're still mourning, and the coaches are still mourning. And we have days where the kids will just break down in tears and say, I just miss him. I just need him back. And, you know, that causes I'm the same way, or, you know, his birthday here is rough. And I see them looking at his pictures on the wall all the time. I'll just catch them in a moment of their own, and knowing how to navigate that. I'm a mom of two children, but this is a whole different, a whole different concept of any of that. I mean, I don't think anybody's prepared for this, but when you're a coach and you care about these girls so much, it's very hard to separate their mourning from mine and pick them mm-hmm. up. And, but I have to say our staff, they were incredibly, incredibly devastated, obviously too. And they found it necessary to step in here every day and try to build these kids up and try to move forward with what Kurt wanted and his vision and his love for and passion for the sport and love for the girls. And so I think that in a lot of ways, every day carries us.
Yeah. That's great that they were there for you and that they were a resource and support system for not only you, but all the girls, because gymnastics is a unique situation. It's not the same, you know, hour practice here or there, or even a couple of days a week thing. It is a lot of time. It is long practices often practices, you, when you're in the gymnastics world, like that is your family. You spend a lot of time with your gymnastics team.
Oh yeah. We spend more time with these children than their parents do. And mm-hmm. I think because of that, we have a very big responsibility to make sure that they're, it's not just about gymnastics, that they're good kids. But going through something like this, he was our everything. He was our leader, our mentor, our laughter. He was everything. And not knowing how to move forward with that, you know, I say to the girls, and I've tried really hard to bring Kurt into a lot of the conversations we have on events. And I would say things like, Kurt would tell you that stinks. That really stinks. And they'll laugh and go, yep, that's exactly what he'd say. Or, you know, they're crying and saying, I can't do it. I don't know. Kurt's not here. And I'd say, what would he say to you? What would he tell you? And they'll tell me, he'd say, stay tight on this, focus on that. It's okay. Well, then you can hear him. So you need to listen. And so we try to keep those things in perspective for the girls and help them understand that he's here. He's in every part of everything we do in this building. But as a wife, there are probably more days that I do than I don't walk out of here. And the minute I hit the parking lot, I just break down because, you know, we watch for him to walk in the door every day. I mean, it's just part of what we're going through.
I feel that personally. I feel for you. I lost my dad suddenly when he was my coach, when I was a teenager. And just like you said, you still remember what he would be telling you.
Yeah.
As you continue on in that sport, you know, oh, this is what he would have said. Yeah. And I still think of those things as an adult, but as an adult, I now think back and think, oh, what my mom would have been going, what she was going through at the time. I was a kid. And so, you know, you don't know the adult perspective, but now as a mom of two and as an adult and, we're now about the age of that he suddenly passed away as a, you know, he was too young, but I think about that all the time, like how incredibly hard that would have to be for her. So I've sympathize with you and, I'm sorry that you're going through it and it's going to be something that you will, like for me personally, it is a lifelong thing that I never shake. It changes and it has lessened, but I never will shake it.
Yeah. And I think only people that have dealt with loss can kind of understand. I mean, for me, our marriage, married 24 years, our marriage was incredible. And I'm incredible. We were attached at the hip. We worked together, had two great kids together. Everything we did was together. There was nothing that I did on my own. So when this happened, you know, everything's different now. I don't watch the same things on TV. We would eat together. I don't have that. Our group of friends is different because the group of friends is couples. So either they're mourning Kurt too, so they don't want to go, or I become this third wheel and that's not comfortable for them either. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I am grateful that my kids are on the older side. When Kurt passed away, they were 20 and 22, almost 21 and 23. And I can't imagine if my kids were younger, how to navigate what I was going through and still be a good mom. And even now I struggle with that. I struggle with the fact that I'm still trying to figure out how to put one foot in front of the other. And in doing that, in some ways I feel selfish because I'm still trying to make sure I'm here. So my kids, I've let them kind of figure out things on their own a little bit too, so that I
can. And that's okay. That's okay. It is not selfish. Not at all. It's part of being a mom. It's hard to do that, but part of being a mom is being a bit selfish to make sure you're good also.
Yeah. So you're not, you know, so I can be good for the kids here and my own kids and I can, I can get stronger every day and make it through. I feel like I'm healing and that's a good thing, but I feel like with Kurt, to know him was just, I can't say enough about the kind of personality and the larger than life thing. And it brings us, you know, back to the foundation thing. I'm watching all these people come out of the woodwork, some that I knew before, some that I never knew, but I heard Kurt talk about because of our age difference, there was a whole nother group of people during his gymnastics years that some of them I know and most of them I don't. So it's really interesting now to hear these stories and more about his life before me, because Kurt, he wasn't a humble person. He would tell you how awesome he was all the time, but you didn't get a lot of details. So it's interesting to listen to everybody else's perspective and how he inspired them and how his confidence just carries. I mean, you just go, geez, so cool.
So let's end with that on a good note. What is the foundation's purpose and what do you want people to know about that?
So when not right after Kurt passed away, but I'd say about 3 months after, and I was still really struggling with how to move forward. I literally just thought to myself, what can I do to take my focus into something that is amazing and will carry on Kurt's name? And I remembered that Kurt had started a foundation in 2003. And the foundation that it started, I was part of it, but not a huge part of it. It was mainly Kurt doing it. And one of our close friends was in there helping him. And he had this vision of the foundation to help men's gymnastics, to give back to the sport. There was a whole inner city program part of it too, that I haven't even gotten into yet. But the foundation itself was this awesome idea, but because we had kids and our babies were new and we were running a new business, we just tabled it and we never did anything with it. So I literally that day got on the phone and called the person, Lori Bannon, who had originally done the foundation with Kurt. And I said, look, this is what I want to do. I want to start it back up. I want to take it to the next level. And she said, I'm in. And within 5 days, I had a team of 10 board of directors, and I had incorporated it. It's a 501c and restarted it and filed all the paperwork and went all in on everything to do with the foundation. So the main goal of the foundation at this point is to raise money for gymnastics itself, but more so even gymnastics itself are the men's gymnastics program. It needs funding. It needs, there are kids that want to train that can't afford to train. So that's what we're doing. So the foundation is putting on its first inaugural gala in September, and it's a who's who of gymnastics. I'm totally excited about it. We have 14 Olympians that are attending right now.
Wow.
And I'm sure we'll add more, and they all want to support Kurt's vision. We're giving away a $12,000 training scholarship to one of the applicants that applied that is amazing. And he was just chosen last week. He lives with his grandparents, so he can train, and training is very expensive. So that $12,000 goes to his club to cover his expenses for him for the year. And we're giving away that scholarship, but hopefully in the future, more than just the one. We are also doing the Flair Award, which is really near and dear to my heart, which is a replica of the statue that's out in front of the 96 games by Richard McDonald. And he jumped in as a sculptor and is giving us sculptures to give each year. And it's to somebody that demonstrates the same amount of passion for the sport and the drive to help keep gymnastics going. That is going to be given out at the gala as well, which I'm really excited about. And it's something that will carry on Kurt's legacy. And then as the foundation grows, that inner city element and things. But I have to tell you, one of the coolest parts about this was 2 weeks after I decided it, I got a package in the mail from one of Kurt's friends. His name is Scott, and they had worked close together. And I didn't realize Scott was involved in the foundation at all. And I had mentioned in passing that I was bringing it back, and he sent me a packet. And this packet was all of Kurt's handwritten notes, who he wanted on the board, what the vision was. I get the chills talking about it, what the vision was, what he hoped to do over the course of a 5-year period, what was important to him. And it's all handwritten in his
hand. Oh my gosh.
And it was one of those things where I opened it and thought, it's Kurt. He's just telling me, here you go. This is how you do it. No, you can't
written out for yourself.
So here you go. I'm going to help you. And
that's incredible.
It just was such a calling and so amazing. So I feel like that is exactly where I'm supposed to be. The gym was something we built together that will always be with both of us. And then the foundation mm-hmm. is something that I hope in the future will do such incredible things for our sport. So that's the hope. And that's,
I love it. It gives me chills hearing you talk about it and seeing you light up when you talk about it. And the plans and his written plans that were, you know, given to you later. I love it.
Yeah.
Just very impactful. And it's going to change some people's lives.
Yeah. You know? And to see it in his writing, you know, his writing is very distinct. So to see it like that was not just what we kind of remember him saying he wanted, or not just what we thought he may want. It was, this is what I want. This is what the goal should be. And this is what we need to do. And I just, God, it was a godsend. It was literally God-given thing.
Great direction for you, know the directions, to know the direction of the foundation. I love it. And I'm so glad I learned about it. I'm going to look into it more. Being a local in this community and a gymnastics lover, I'm going to check it out so I can help get involved too.
Oh, that would
Becky,
be awesome.
I appreciate, I can hear the floor music going on in the gym behind you, and I love it. I know. And I see the pictures of Kurt on the wall behind you. I know the podcast listeners can't see it all, but I love it so much. So I'm honored to have gotten a chance to meet you and talk to you, explore a little bit of your story and Kurt's story and y'all's story together and the gym and the foundation. So thank you for your time.
And I appreciate being able to talk about him and how incredible he was, is, and what he'll keep bringing to our future. It's exciting.
And thank you for listening to this episode of Hustle and Pro. Do me a favor and review and rate our podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.